Matthew chapter number one, It is, we've heard a little bit of Christmas music, and this morning's message is going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story. We do not plan on using every single service between now and Christmas about different Christmas stories, but today we're going to look at one gentleman who's often overlooked inside the Christmas story, and it's the God who got, the man who God chose to raise his son. So, and what we're learning from today is how to respond to an impossible situation. And the wonderful story of Christmas, and you know, you think it's just the week after Thanksgiving. You think, hey, you're already talking about Christmas. I want to get our hearts ready and on target for what the Lord wants to do for us this Christmas season. I know between Thanksgiving and Christmas, many times there are so many things that need to be done. I know last year I was looking at pretty much every single day during the month of December, from Thanksgiving all the way up through, even through the day after Christmas. It seemed like there was something special scheduled, and we don't want to be busy just to be busy. We want to serve the Lord. We want to get the opportunities that God gives us, and there are so many different responsibilities when it comes to family obligations, to of reaching out to the lost, to even church family and this church. And there's just so much. But here, I'd like to look for just a little bit about how to respond to an impossible situation. Dr. Tom Malone is famous for saying, when God wants to do something great, he starts with the difficult. But when God wants to do something miraculous, he starts with the impossible. And God is able. God is able to do the impossible. And God uses us often to help us see how we can also be part of the impossible. So often what appears to be hopeless in the very atmosphere of which God is about to do something miraculous. When things seem the darkest, when things seem like it's just, you don't know what's going to happen, you see God work and it restores the hope that we have. The one thing I love about Christmas is the hope that it provides for us. During times like these, we can learn different situations, how the different Bible characters responded. Usually during Christmas time, we have some type of series dealing with different people or different topics about the Christmas season. This year, we're going to look at different Bible characters specifically at different times. And when you look at the Christmas story, we also look at Mary and we consider the hardship she endured, which I don't think is a bad thing. It's biblical. But Joseph also faced an extreme dilemma. How could he believe what Mary had told him? What was he to do with this impossible situation he faced? So let's look here, Matthew chapter number one. Let's go ahead and start in verse number 18. Matthew chapter one, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused, meaning to be betrothed, in a sense engaged to Joseph, before they came together, meaning they had not had a physical relationship, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin will be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Holy Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing Christmas story that talks about how Jesus came to this world. God became man, Lord, to be the savior of mankind. Lord, I pray that today in the message that we see Joseph and how he responds to a very difficult situation, what might seem impossible. And Lord, that we would learn how to respond as we're coming across different situations and different problems and different things that we may face this Christmas season. That we will take time to consider, that we will learn to trust and will always be humble enough to see you at work. Lord, help us today. Lord, work today through the message. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I look at this story, once again, it's amazing when you look at the different characters that God chooses to use in the Bible story and in the story of the Christmas story. First one we're going to look at in this series is the story about Joseph. And I love how he responds, how Joseph responds to this. And I want to encourage us to learn a few things, because I don't know about you, but we face difficult circumstances all the time. We face difficult, which may even seem impossible, situations every single day. We also, as we come across and as we pass the threshold of Thanksgiving and give on to Christmas, we realize that there's impossible situations when we're dealing with other people. Sometimes family lives are great and family situations are wonderful. Other times they're not what we would like them to be, and other times there are things that sometimes people even dread. But how do we respond to the impossible or the difficult circumstances is what I'm interested in this morning, and seeing how Joseph responds. Could you put yourself in Joseph's place for a second? Think about what Joseph experienced when Mary came and said, "I'm of child, I am pregnant." And here we see that Joseph's first response was to take time to consider. Look what it says in verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, trying to do what is right, known for a reputation of doing a man of character and doing those things that were pleasing to the Lord. It says, not willing to make her a public example. Now, once again, and nowadays that we live in, we don't live under the law, and we definitely do not live in Israel back in that first century. But back then, under the law, if a young lady would have committed adultery or had fornication, then she would be put to death. She would definitely have been put aside. Definitely would not have been married. And that's what Joseph is here. And Joseph is trying to be compassionate, but you also see that he does not want to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, considering whether or not this is something that he should do or how he should do. And you see that phrase, thought on these things, it says in verse number 20, but while he thought on these things. I want to encourage you today that one of the ways we deal with impossible situations, impossible circumstances, is to make sure we take time to consider. What are we supposed to consider? We're supposed to consider what God's will is. We're supposed to consider what God's word says. While he thought on these things, God helps by sending an angel. And the angel appeared unto him in a dream and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph could immediately respond to Mary. Joseph, the first time he heard it, could have responded in a way of anger and could have reacted in a way that would have been frustrated and could have made a public example. But instead, the response indicates that if he would have done what he was thinking in verse number 19, he would have ended the relationship. But he was patient to think things through and to wait on the Lord. Because Joseph waited, he received direction from God. And one of the things I want to encourage you in the day and time that we live in today, these impossible and difficult and hard situations, they are things that we should consider about. And these are things that we should pray about. These are things that we should seek God's wisdom and God's revelation to us. Now, he inspires us. He's not writing a new word of God, but he does encourage us. He does reveal unto us his will for his life. Because Joseph waited, he received the angel of the Lord that appeared unto him in a dream. He got the answer from the Lord. He got direct revelation from the Lord. Over years, I've watched people. I watch people respond. I watch people feel like they have to respond just like that and how they react. And many times it's not the proper way. Many times things are done in anger. Many times things are done in frustration. Many times they're impulsive, frustrated decisions. And that rarely lead to a peaceful and spiritually fruitful destination. Rarely does somebody responding in a way of anger or respond in a way of, hey, I need to change my job, or I need to move to this location, or I need to cut off this relationship. Rarely does it respond, produce spiritual fruit. But we see here Joseph, and I love in this story, and we know that God chose Joseph to raise his son. Once again, we understand that because Mary was virgin born, that he wasn't the biological father, but it's the one that God chose to help raise his son. He has the patience to receive God's word. He has the patience to seek after counsel and pray for direction. God does provide direction, even in impossible situations. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that many times we need to learn how to seek after the Lord instead of responding in our flesh. It's easy to respond in our flesh. It's easy to come to a spot that we want to react according to what our flesh is telling us, but we should seek the Lord. We should desire those things that God wants and what God wants us to do. We should take time to consider. Second thing I want you to think about, not only does he take time to consider, but you see also he trusts in the Lord's direction. Look what it says here. He says, Joseph, thou son of David, in verse number 20, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You go down to verse number 24, and it says, then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He listens. And you say, what's the big deal about that? You think about it. This is an impossible situation. How am I going to deal with Mary? Mary is one who has telling me that she is of child, telling me of the child, and this is the child, the Holy Ghost. And even though Joseph probably knew of the prophecies, it's something, how am I going to deal with this? What am I going to do? And he's sitting there, he's considering, he's asking, this is what we should do under difficult situations. Lord, what is your will for my life? Lord, what is it you desire me to do? Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you desire for my reaction to be? And he's seeking that. And then he trusts the Lord in the Lord's direction. The direction God gives is always best for us. It's not always easy. The easy thing for Joseph would have put her away and put her away privily would have made us thought that he was being kind and compassionate, but that was not God's will. And that was the case for Joseph. He wanted to do what God wanted. God told Joseph words that were familiar to us today, but they must have felt surprising to Joseph. I mean, think about it. Most of us would say, what is wrong with Mary? I can't believe Mary did this. How can Mary have a relationship when we're betrothed? Most of us would react and we would sit there and we would cast. Then we would cast judgment and we would say, this is what has to happen and this is what must happen. But here I know it's a supernatural situation. But God told Joseph words that would have been familiar to us that we think, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Mary had Jesus. But to Joseph, it would have been a surprise. And when he says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake, this was different than the life Joseph had planned. This was not the life that Joseph didn't know. Mary didn't know. Mary didn't plan it. But consider it. He got to be the one who God chose to raise Jesus. Now, wouldn't that mean his life was even greater than what he could ever plan? Joseph could never even consider, hey, maybe someday I could be that earthly father of Jesus. He couldn't consider that. He didn't know that, but he had to trust the Lord in the Lord's direction. Was it better for him? Infinitely so, but it wasn't without challenges. It wasn't without mystery. And here's the thought, we must learn to trust the Lord. And Jesus could only find the strength to do, Joseph could only find the strength to do is simply what God told him to do. He took God at his word and he's like, okay, God says the angel told me to take Mary to be my wife. And he does. Could you imagine how people would have questioned him? Could you imagine why, hey, Joseph, you should just put her away privily. Hey, Joseph, and he would have faced the scorn that was there. Joseph, being raised from his sleep, he does what he told him to do in verse number 24. The only way forward in an impossible situation is to trust the Lord. First, you know, you consider, you pray, you seek the Lord, as Joseph does, as he says, as he's considering things while he thought on these things. The next step is to trust the Lord. We might not always understand what he's doing, but we can trust him. That's not to say that only do this in impossible times, but we must do this all the time. Think about it. We are often tempted to make decisions out of frustration. We're often tempted to make decisions out of impatience. But rash decisions often do not lead to spiritual prosperity. Does not lead to what God wants for us. Does not lead what God desires for us. We must stop with the knee-jerk reactions. We must begin to consider, as Joseph did, as he thought on these things. He took time to consider. He took time to pray. And so when we're in an impossible situation, you're going to have tons of people saying, hey, this is what you should do, and this is what you need to do. Or over here, this is what the world will tell you, and this is what your family may tell you. This is what a friend may tell you. This is what an associate may tell you, or someone you work with, a neighbor. Everybody's going to have an opinion, but we must learn to silence all those voices and say, God, what is it you want? As we consider it and as we hear the Lord's leading in it, we must learn to trust in him. There are times when we cannot see what God can do and how God can bring something out of the impossibility, but those are the times we need to trust the Lord. You think about it, Joseph would have never considered that I'm going to be the earthly father of Jesus. He would have never wrote that script for himself. But what happens is he is willing to trust the Lord in everything he's doing. As he considers and as he thinks on these things, he trusts the Lord. And as he trusts the Lord, God does something special. Think about what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. One of the those familiar, famous verses, we must remember that we must trust him with all our heart. Joseph here takes his plans, his future, what he planned with Mary, he sets it aside, and he becomes, yes, married to her, but also she was with child. We must learn to trust him with not just part of our heart, but all our heart. And when we're trusting with the Lord with all of our heart, it says, lean not to thy own understanding. Many times what makes sense to us, what our heart tells us, what our mind is telling us, what our flesh is telling us, we must learn to say no to it as we're considering these things and say, God, what is your will? We must learn how to silence these voices. And I can't lean to my own understanding because the Lord is one that's leading me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Joseph had to learn to trust in the Lord at this moment in time with all his heart. His own understanding would have been, how can this be? I should just put her away privately. I'm not going to make her a public example. I'm not going to have her stoned to death. I'm not going to have her to be punished. Instead, very privately, I'll just leave her. I'll end the relationship. But he has to learn something. I can't trust my own thinking. We must learn to lead and let the Lord lead us and guide us. Remember how our heart is described. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. So we must learn to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understandings. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. This is where many of us like to do. We like to acknowledge him in part of our ways. Oh, yes, I want to acknowledge him in this area. I want to acknowledge him when it comes to how it suits me, when it pushes my agenda. It's sort of like the husband that turns around and says, he tells the wife, hey, you need to submit to me because that's what the Bible says, but does not consider what the Bible talks about and loving the wife. And sometimes that's what husbands do. They sit there and they try to, the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, the Bible says, but also talks about how the husband is supposed to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And there's other passages of scripture where it talks about submitting one another. We cannot use the Bible to try to push an agenda and try to get things done we want. We must acknowledge him in every area of our life, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge God in every area of your life, not just part of it. And Joseph here, he is taking and he's learning something here when he responds to impossible situation. Number one, he considers it. He prayerfully considers it. God reveals unto him what he wants him to do. Secondly, he trusts in the Lord. Every impossible situation I find myself in, or maybe our church in, has required something, and that's to trust in the Lord. If we ever want to see spiritual fruit, if we ever want to see prosperity amongst our church family, we must learn, I have to trust the Lord. I cannot lean to my own understanding. I cannot do those things that make sense to me. I must learn to look into his word, understand what his word says, seek after his will, look for what God desires for my life. But oftentimes, that's not what we do. We trust him in certain areas, the areas that we can't control. We trust him to save our soul from hell because we know we have no other choice. We must trust in him to be our savior because if not, look at what the punishment is. But when we learn to trust him in all those areas and all thy ways acknowledge him. I'm acknowledging God and how to raise my family. I'm acknowledging God on how I should act in church. I'm acknowledging God on how I should deal with one another. I'm acknowledging God on how I should look at the lost. I'm acknowledging God on when it comes to forgiveness and when it comes to bitterness. I'm acknowledging God when it comes to how I should live my life and be a holy life. I'm acknowledging God, but there's certain parts we just like to leave out and say, well, God doesn't care about that. We don't acknowledge it. We must learn to acknowledge him. That's what it means to trust in him. And that's the reason why I think Joseph is one of the major players in the story, the Christmas story, is because he said he wasn't going to react in a way that would have seen Mary stoned to death. He wasn't going to react in a way that was going to be out of anger and frustration. Instead, he was going to think on these things. And I think it's important that we consider. And then also he was going to be willing to trust in the Lord. Not only do we see him trusting in the Lord here, we see him later on. This story's talked about how they're there and Herod's going to come and try to kill baby Jesus. And the angel of the Lord appears unto him and tells Joseph, get out of town, go to Egypt. And he fulfills the prophecies. He had to learn that they traveled to Bethlehem over and over and over. He's someone who trusted in the Lord. It wouldn't make any sense to take the pregnant Mary all the way back to Bethlehem, but it fulfilled the prophecy. Over and over, trusting the Lord. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, but we see how God makes sense out of all of it. Third thing I want you to think about here is not only taking time to consider, prayerfully consider your ways, consider what the Lord wants you to do, but trusting in the Lord's direction. But last but not least, have the humility to marvel. Have the humility to marvel. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to come back to Matthew chapter 1 in a second. But Luke chapter number 2, we see the story of how he's there. He takes the baby like he's supposed to. Him and Mary takes the baby and he goes into the temple. While in the temple, he meets Simeon. He meets Anna. And we look at these things. And in Luke chapter number 2, there's a little phrase that's found here that interests me. Luke chapter 2, look what it says in verse number 33. It says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So we see that Anna is going to come later. And Anna, the prophetess in verse 36, says all these wonderful things. And Simeon, in verses earlier, he says all these wonderful things about Jesus and talks about Jesus and how Jesus, as they come to at the 8 days, they come there to, as the law had described, and then he goes there, and as he's there, and it says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom law, they were bringing him as the law had told him to on the eighth day. And then they took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And look what it says in verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Have you ever noticed that pride and wonder do not exist? Do not coexist together? Think about it. How when a person is prideful, they feel like, oh, that's the way it should be. Yeah, that's what happened because of what I did. So often, even after we had the patience to listen to God's direction and follow after and trust in the Lord, we often like to congratulate ourselves. Oh, yes, I did this. And because of this happened, this responded. We like to pat ourselves in the back. Many times we like to think, yeah, that's good. I'm glad that that person got saved, or I'm glad that person came to church, or I'm glad. We become prideful when we see God work. We lose our all of God's greatness. We sink into a shallow, narrow world of which we are the star. But it's not about us. We were telling our young people today in children's church, the story of Joseph is what we're going through, the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And we talked about how Joseph went into that prison cell, even though he had been sold into slavery, even though he had been lied by Potiphar, even though he had been thrown into a pit, he went into that prison cell where the butler and baker was, and he talked to them. He said they looked sad. He asked why they were sad. He didn't have bitterness in his heart. He realized, this is not about me. Yes, he had been thrown in the pit. Yes, he had been sold into slavery. Yes, he had been lied to by Potiphar's wife. But the Lord continued on blessing. Why is that? Because he didn't have anger in his heart. He didn't have bitterness in his heart. He cared enough to minister. And as he ministered to the butler and as he ministered to the baker, God had a plan that future down the road, he was going to save many people's lives because of the famine. What a wonderful, fantastic story. But it all came to the spot that he trusted the Lord in the pit. He trusted in the Lord when he was going to Potiphar's house. He trusted in the Lord even when Potiphar's wife lied about him. He trusted in the Lord while he was sitting in prison. He still cared. He still ministered. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he was dealing with. And Joseph understands this. I know it's a different Joseph, but he understands this. He understands that. He sits back and he marvels that Simeon would know and that Simeon would understand and that God was working and that what was happening, everything that was happening was, look, this is the Lord working. The Lord is doing, and what the Lord is doing is right, and what the Lord is doing is good. I must learn to consider my actions and I must learn to trust in him, but I need to be humble enough to understand that I can do nothing without him. I must trust in him. I must make sure I'm in a spot like Joseph of the Old Testament was, in a place that I can minister to others, even though I'm trying to be attacked and even though others are trying to harm me, I can still minister to others and I can still, even though it seems like an impossible situation, as a 17-year-old boy, I believe, he gets sold by his brothers. He's sitting in the prison cell and he's there and he had dreams of how people were going to bow down to him. God had given those dreams. It's impossible to think about this as he's going and he's talking to these men. How does he deal with it? He trusts the Lord. It allows him to act the way he should despite how he's being treated. And when we look at the story here, Joseph wonders that he marvels at this thought. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things were spoken of him. It was not so with Joseph and the idea that he thought it was all about him. No, he understood what God was doing. Several months after he made the faithful decision to follow God's plan, Jesus was born. And 8 days after Jesus' birth, he goes into the temple and God allows Simeon and Anna praise God over the fulfillment of the messianic promises. How did Joseph and Mary respond? They didn't pat themselves on the back. They stepped forward. They didn't step forward and they didn't say, well, let us now go teach a seminar telling everybody what it looks like to have a virgin born. They don't do that. They marvel and they say, I can't believe God is working. Look at how God moves. Look how God works. Trust in the Lord. Be humble enough to see God working. Be humble enough to see God moving. Trust in him. They couldn't have possibly understood all that God was doing in that moment, but they had the humility to take a step back and say, look at what God did. And they marvel at that. Don't lose what God's done for you. Don't lose the marvel what God's trying to do in your life when you are willing to take the time to trust in him. But it's not going to happen unless you trust in him. You're not going to unless you take the time to consider, yes, it's a hard and difficult situation. I'm trusting in you, Lord. And then when you see God work, don't sit there and say, yeah, I did that. I responded the right way. Yeah, I forgave when I really didn't need to. Or I told that person a thing or two. Marvel in the fact that God used you and that God wants to use you and God wants to work in your life. And that God, that's what we see in the story of Joseph. In the story of Christmas, how many times we see just normal, regular people that God uses, whether it's Joseph who trusts in the Lord or Mary who trusts in the Lord or Elizabeth or Zacharias that trusted in God, or whether it's the shepherds that came or the wise men that came, all the different people that you sit back and you wonder, look at what God is doing. There's a verse that I enjoy in Psalms 118, verse 23. He says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. When we allow God to work in our hearts and life, it will be marvelous. You say, Pastor, why is it that we don't see God working like we should or like we think he should? It's because many times we don't take time to consider what he wants for our lives. We feel like, oh, I got to react this way and I got to do this. I got to go in frustration and often in anger and in jealousy and envy. We respond the ways that we feel like it's got to be this way. But if we would take time to say, Lord, look it up in the scriptures, there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And I know Joseph doesn't have a multitude of counselors here that we know of. But also we see this, that as he trusts in the Lord, God did something special. I don't know what the impossible situation you are finding yourself this Christmas season. I really don't. I do know enough families to know that sometimes families are broken. I do know enough people out there in the world that I know that people do not behave the way that they should, and we don't always know how to respond. I've worked out in the general public for many years of my life. I know I've been sheltered because of the fact of working inside of a church, and my secretary is a Christian, the assistant pastor is a Christian. You know, I spend time with you, but I'm out in the world too. I know the world's broken, and I know that there are situations in our lives that we always wonder and say, this seems impossible. What is it that I can do? I want to encourage you to respond the way that Joseph responded. Think about what Joseph did. Number one, he considered. He didn't react. He did not react in the fact that in his emotions. Instead, he sought the Lord. and asked the Lord's help. Secondly, we see that he trusted in the Lord with his actions. He trusted the Lord at the end of chapter number one. He trusted the Lord to take Joseph over to Egypt. He trusted the Lord in many, many different steps of his life. Last but not least, he did not lose his marvel, which means he did not become prideful. Oh, look, God chose me to be Joseph and to be Jesus' son, father. You don't see him seeing that at all. And we don't know a lot about him. We believe he died. According to tradition, it tells us that Joseph died as Jesus was probably a late teenager. We don't know that for sure. We see Mary at the cross by himself. We don't see any other mentions of Joseph after a certain period of time of Jesus' life. But you don't see him being arrogant here. How many of us, if God had asked us to do something and if something special, we'd be like, well, now I have the ability to tell everybody else what I think. That's not what he does. When you have an impossible situation, number one, take time to consider. Take time to pray. Let the Lord lead you and guide you in this. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, trust in him. But be humble. Allow God to work and allow God to move and get step back and marvel at the fact that God is taking care of you. Go back to Matthew chapter number one very quickly. Matthew chapter number one. I want to look at one verse, and I want you to think about this impossible situation that you had to consider, and then you also had to trust in the Lord. And then we still should never lose our marvel about. Look what it says in Matthew chapter number one. Look what it says in verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's interesting that God tells Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And if you go and you look at the end of verse number 25, and it says, and he called his name Jesus. It was Joseph who made that decision. He called his name Jesus. God told him, this is your decision. This is what I want you to do. He followed him. He trusted him. But he says, and she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. So here's the thing that I'm saying is an impossible situation that you had to do this. If you truly are born again today, if you're truly on your way to heaven, there was a day in your life that you were confronted with your sin. That's what the Bible says, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We realize that we're sinners. We're confronted with our sin, and because of our sin, there is a wage of our sin. That wage of sin is death. It's eternal separation from God. And as we're eternally separated from God, the Bible says the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the impossible situation. You have to pay for your sin debt for all eternity in hell. There's nothing you can do about it. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were brought that good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came to this world. That's what Christmas is about. He was born. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He was crucified on the cross. He was buried. He rose again to pay our sin debt for us. So the impossible situation in your life was you're lost and you cannot do anything about it. But God did something for you. And then that's the consideration you have. Consider that. Consider that I understood I was a sinner. I understood what Jesus Christ did for me. And I believed and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So that's the first step, is consider that you're lost. Consider you have a need. Repent of those sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is the second thing. Third thing is marvel at it. Don't ever lose that, what Jesus Christ did for you. Don't ever sit back and say, man, look what I did. No one's going to be able, when they get to heaven, no one's going to be able to say, I'm here because I did this, this, and this. You're going to be in the wrong line if you feel that way. And if you get to heaven, because you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there was a time in your life when you considered it. There was a time in your life when you trusted in him. And please do not lose that marvel. So when you say, Pastor, how does that apply to today's message? That was impossible, that you could not do anything to help yourself. Only God could help you. And whatever the impossible situation you are in right now, take time to consider it. Take time to trust in him. But don't ever lose the marvel. Don't ever become prideful in saying, this happened because of what I did. I did this and I did that. You lose what God's trying to do. Joseph does not miss out on what God was trying to do in his life. He considered, he trusted, and he marveled. Today, be wise enough to consider what God's trying to tell you in your life. Don't make reactionary decisions. Oh, no, no. And I see it happen. I see I'm not personally on Facebook anymore, but every once in a while I look at the church's stuff, the friend requests or messages and things like that. And you see the responses of people sometimes, the ugliness and the hatred or the just trying to pick fights and things like that. Don't respond in the flesh. Respond with the Holy Spirit, God's help. Seek after the Lord, trust in the Lord, but don't lose your marvel. Marvel what God's done in your life, how he saved you, where he's taking you from, what you would be if it wasn't for him. Those are all exciting things that we should take time to consider or marvel over. But say, Pastor, why in the world do we not do that? Or why in the world do we not see God working? I had someone ask me that yesterday. Why don't we see God work the way that we like to in our church or in our individual lives? I wonder how many of us have really taken the time to consider that. And taking the time to say, okay, Lord, I need trust in you. And then don't lose the marvel of what God's trying to do. Might seem simple, might seem small. But through this, God was able to do something miraculous in Joseph's life that he would have never asked for himself. But instead, he trusted in the Lord. This morning, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? If you died today, would you go to heaven? The Bible tells us that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. This morning, put your faith and trust in him. And for all those in this room that's facing an impossible situation or a hard situation or a difficult situation, bring it before the Lord. Think on these things. Consider, God, what is it you want me to do? Not, this is what my friends say, this is what my family says, this is what my church family says, this is what the world would tell me, this is what the psychologists would tell me. God, what is it you want me to do? And then sit quietly, listening to the answer, thinking on these things, and then trust in the Lord, checking his scripture, reading his scripture, seeking his face. Trust the Lord, but don't lose the marvel of what he wants to do in your life. He's got more than you could ever imagine or even think planned for you, if you're willing to surrender. Let's pray.